You move me back a little? Thank you.
All right, 2 Samuel 18. For sake of time, we'll not develop the backstory. I'll tell it to you quickly. We'll not necessarily look at the verses. If you'd like, read the previous five verses or five chapters. Second Samuel, starting around honestly chapter 13 and through 18, you'll get the full story. But what has happened is, David is king. He has a son. His name's Absalom. And Absalom has stolen the heart of the people and put the nation against King David himself, so much so that he doesn't feel safe. He had to leave Jerusalem. And now David is at war with his own son. This is the culmination of the battle. And David is pretty much fighting for his life. But the enemy isn't the Philistines. It's his own son. Now, say, how'd they get there? You got to read it. There's too much to say. But that's where we're at right now. There's mishandling on both sides. Both David and Absalom have mishandled the situation. And in their mishandling, it has put one against the other. It's a really sad story in Scripture, because it could have been prevented. But 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33, what happens is Absalom is killed. He gets caught up in a tree. The one soldier comes and tells Joab. He says, saw Absalom hanging in the tree. And he's like, did he kill him? He's like, no. David told us to deal gently, and killing is not gentle. So I'm not. And he's like, well, show me where he's at. And he takes three spears and puts it right through his heart. Absalom is dead. It's reported back to David, and here's verse 33. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these that are here. Lord, I'm burdened for those that maybe had a rough day. And Lord, I pray that you'd use the service tonight to encourage them. And Lord, I'm glad they're here. Lord, I pray that, again, you'd use the message here tonight to teach us something about you. And we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's message is kind of a difficult one in that just the sensitivity towards the subject is difficult. Here we're dealing with David, and his son is killed. And as you read that verse, it doesn't sound like he's grieving over his enemy. He's grieving over the loss of his son. So tonight's message is how to deal with grief. Somewhere throughout your life, you're going to have to figure that out. And I could tell you all the wrong ways to deal with it. But again, for sake of time, I think we'll just talk about the right way. Because it's going to come to your house someday, if it hasn't already. It's part of life. Now, do I expect to have to go to war against my own son? No. No, Joe. I liked when you were in King's Club better. No, we don't expect that. But certainly there's going to be something that, as what we would say, is just heart-wrenching or just rip our heart out. That's what happens here. Absalom, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Just the grief that David feels over this. So what do? When grief comes to our house, how do we handle it? Well, everyone handles grief differently, and I've said this multiple times, there's really no wrong way to handle it. Some people roll on easily. Well, what seems easy. Some people like to talk about it. Some people don't like to talk about it. Some people cry. Some people don't cry. Some people retreat and just want to be left alone, and other people want to be around others. Say, what's right? All of it. There's no wrong way with it. There's no sin in that. But how about personally? How do you deal with it when it's just you and the Lord? You go up to the room and cry like King David does? Well, there's certain things we need to remember. Let's go to Psalm 34. My paper says I have 6 points. My clock says I have about 15 minutes. So I want to be an encouragement and a blessing to you, and I don't want to gloss over things, but I also know that King's Club workers get rather heated if you go too long. I think we have enough time to deal with each of these. Consider them, give enough thought to it, and then hopefully be a help to you. If you have a pen and paper, write some of these things down. Tuck it away in your Bible. Say, you keep saying that. The loose leaf of my Bible is coming apart because of all those little papers that you've told me to add. Well, someday they're going to come in handy instead of writing milk and eggs down on them. Psalm 34 and verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The word nigh means to be close. So how do you deal with grief? Well, number one, we recognize that the Lord draws us closer. It's one thing to be close to the Lord, but then it says the Lord is nigh unto them. And he makes a specific definition of his closeness and to who. He says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. It's almost like he has a special interaction when someone's heart breaks. Because, quite honestly, there's nothing really anybody can say. Can't change the subject, can't change the circumstance. So what God does for his child is just gets close. It says that the Lord is nigh unto them, not because of invitation, not because of we cried out to him. He just takes it upon himself personally to get close. How does that help me? Well, knowing that you're not alone helps. Knowing that the Creator of the universe takes a personal interest in you and is decided to get close to you, not necessarily because you're in the best of moods, or not necessarily because you're in the best of shape. Actually, you might be at the lowest point you've ever been, and he says, I'm going to go get close to that one. How do you deal with grief? Well, number one, you recognize that the Lord just got closer. You're about to experience a relationship and a interaction, and I would even say an intimacy with the Lord that was not even there before. Say, oh no, the Lord's always close. He specifically says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. As if he makes an extra effort, an extra push to get even closer. You're about to experience the Lord in a way that you've never have. Number one, how to deal with grief. understand that the Lord is now closer. Psalm 147. Our poor neighbor, told you a little bit about him. He was mowing down in Clarendon. He works at the cemetery all by himself. It's not a big cemetery. And went over a slope, and the mower rolled over him. Broke his arm and his leg. And I'm like, "Are your ribs broke?" He's like, "Oh, yeah." I'm like, "How many?" He's like, "I don't know." You'd think you'd know that, but he doesn't. So he's in the hospital, and he's healing. He had to have a number of surgeries. First time we went in, he's got these big metal sticks sticking out of his leg because they had to pin his leg. Well, now they had to do a second surgery, and they had to take the rods out of his leg. But he's healing. I went and saw Brother Smith. I think it was maybe 12, maybe 18 hours after he had back surgery, and he's walking around. He was here, when was he here? Sunday? Wednesday? I don't know. He was here, healing. What do you do when you have grief? What pill do you swallow with that? What doctor do you go to? What's the prescription? What does the pharmacist say? When you go to the doctor, "Hey, I'm not feeling well. What's wrong?" "My heart's been broken. I'm dealing with an immense amount of grief." We have no medicine for that. God says, "I do." Psalm 147 and verse 3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Point number two is to understand that God has an ability to heal that broken heart. But what is going to be required, and we're going to get to it in a little bit, is trust. And here's the second word that we don't like. Patience. It might take some time. Brokenheartedness is not healed overnight. Although an event might have happened suddenly and quick, it's not remedied in a day. And you might get frustrated with, "Why aren't I feeling better? Why aren't..." Because the Bible says He healeth. That means it takes some time. It's a process. Some years ago, I had surgery, and my stepmom worked at Strong, and I don't know how, but somehow she got me on her floor. Had my own room, all that. So there I am, and my stepmom is a registered nurse. Man, that's helpful to have when you're sick. When you're doing things, and I said, "Christine, it really hurts to go up and down stairs." She's like, "Yeah, you should not be doing that." "Well, why not?" "Because they cut through your stomach, and your stomach muscles have been cut. And that's going to hurt you." "Oh, okay." It was nice to have someone to just be able to call and ask for help about healing. Remember point number one. The Lord draws nigh. And then He begins the healing process. And it's nice to be able to talk to the doctor anytime I want. It's nice to be able to talk to the one that is able to heal the broken heart. Because He knows how to put the wounds on. He heals. Matthew chapter 5. How to deal with grief. Number one, recognize that the Lord is close. Number two, understand that healing takes time. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came in unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. How is that? How are those that mourn going to receive comfort? Because the Lord just got nigh to us. I think when you go through sudden and major acts of grief, the Lord brings people by that you never knew existed, that had been through similar circumstances and are a great help and encouragement. That had you not gone through that, you never would have known. And the Lord uses people to comfort. I want to encourage you in this way. Having then gone through some acts of grief, you will be more apt and able to help others more than before. Because you'll be more sensitive and aware of a situation that you never knew existed. Some years ago, I was driving down the road. I was going to work. And I was in downtown Morton. And I was going down and I saw a car pull up. I know they have a stop sign, but I could tell they were not paying attention. And as I was watching this car, I'm thinking they're going to either have to slam on their brakes or they don't see the stop sign. And sure enough, they didn't. And I started slowing down, and I'm glad I did, and or else they would have hit me square. I was able to move the car, and they plowed in the back of me. I just missed a pole, shattered my window, all that kind of stuff. When I got out, I'm okay. I'm asking her, are you okay? What's going on? And she's like, I'm just having a rough time in life. And you think, man, get it together. You almost killed me. Now going through grief, you kind of understand that. If that circumstance happened today, I'd have a different approach to the woman. Why? Because I've mourned and been comforted. And I would want to be a comfort to someone else. How to deal with grief. Number one, the Lord is close. Number two, He heals. Number three, remember that you will find comfort in maybe an unlikely place. Psalm 73. Really like this verse. I had this verse in one of our morning devotions in the last short period of time. Psalm 73 and verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. How to deal with grief? Understand that the Lord can be your strength. I like what it says there. Well, I don't really like it, but I like what it says. My strength and my heart faileth. So many times we blame others for our problems. But here the verse says this. Know who failed? I did. My flesh and my heart. My flesh. What does it say? My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart. See, in my own person, And in my own way, I don't even have enough strength to get through it. My body, my spirit can't even handle it, it says. My flesh and my heart faileth. True statement. I'm so glad the verse doesn't end there, though. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He says this, you will fail, you don't have enough, but I'm enough. And I'll always be enough, he says. So as that one that drew nigh as we were beginning this study, not only is he the one that heals, not only does he bring about comfort, but he can give strength. John chapter 14, we alluded to this thought. John chapter 14 and verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Understand this, how to deal with grief. It's going to take you trusting the Lord. That God actually knows what he's doing. And even though it doesn't make sense, and even though it hurts, and even though it's hard, and even though I fail, let not your heart be troubled. He's like, believe me. Trust me. You know, when the bottom of your life falls out, one thing that you'll see very quickly is you no longer trust anything. Because the very pillar, the very foundation that you're standing upon has just been wiped out. And now you question everything. And God says, hold on a second. No. Let's remember. And he reminds us of things. He's like, you need to trust me. Well, I trusted you and look at what it got me. Is what was our response to the Lord. He said those very things. That is his command to us. That is his help to us. That is his response to our grief. He says this, you need to trust me. That's a lot easier said than done. It's actually really easy to say. How you doing? Oh, I'm just trusting the Lord. But then when you're alone to your thoughts, I don't think I'm revealing anything that is not been said already, but I remember when Mrs. Seatman was going through that hard time with cancer. Her and the Lord were not on good speaking terms for a period of time. She was questioning things. It was with the help of some others that helped her bring them back around to trust the Lord. That's not easy. That's what you need to do. Do you believe him? Sure, it's easy to say when everything's going great. But do you trust him today? Do you trust him now? Do you trust him when grief happens? Last verse, Joshua chapter 1. Someone trying to tell me it's over? I hear a lot of dinging. Joshua 1. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is what? Is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Not only does he draw nigh, but he also goes through it with you. See, the Lord is acquainted with all of our griefs. He knows all of our shortcomings and all our feelings. And he knows all the feelings of the hurts and the... And he goes through it. You know, sometimes people come and they ask for help, and there's only so much we can do. To a point where, I'm sorry, have a good day. There's nothing else I can do. I'm out of resources. Do you understand that the Lord never leaves us alone? He never gets to the point where he says, I'm sorry, this is as far as I can go. I can't help you anymore. There's not a time that he lets go. He's there the whole time. He's like, be courageous, I'm here. And we're going to go through it together. I got close to you. I know what's going on. You got to trust me. And we'll get through it together, he says. So how do you deal with grief? We've seen people all throughout the years, all of our life, mishandle it. From substance abuse to complete withdrawal from society. But I don't think that's the Lord's plan. Number one, we understand that the Lord is close to us. Number two, recognize that he heals. Number three, he'll bring about comfort. Number four, he'll be our strength. Number five, we need to trust him. Number six, he's going through it with you. You're not alone. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I'm thankful for who you are. Lord, in our lowest point, Lord, in our lowest point, you're with us. You make your presence known. You're near us. You comfort us. You give us strength. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, I pray that you'd heal broken hearts. I pray that your presence will be felt. And that one day we too could be a comfort to somebody else. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for these that are here and those that have gone through hard times, that we could go through them together. I want to pray that we'd be a help and encouragement. Lord, when it's all said and done, that you'd be honored and glorified. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.